Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chof Dalet. The Gemara says anything that you cannot use for Neiros Shabbos can be used for Neiros Yontif, except for Shemen Sreifa. Shemen Sreifa is oil which must be burnt, so that can't be used, since Ein Sarfin Kachim B'Yontif. The Gemara asks, do we mention Chanukah in Birchas HaMazon? Reb Huna says, no we don't, but if you want to, you can. Reb Sheisha said, just like we say Al HaNisim in Shmona Esrei, we say it in Birchas HaMazon as well. What about Yal V'Yavai on Rosh Chodesh? Do we mention Yal V'Yavai in Birchas HaMazon? Rav says yes, Rav Chanina says no. Rav Ishia said, we hold like Rav, and we must say Yal V'Yavai in Birchas HaMazon. In fact, on days where the Karban Musaf was brought, for example, Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, if one forgets to say Yal V'Yavai in Shemon Esrei, he must repeat Shemon Esrei. Therefore, in Birchas HaMazon, one must say Yal V'Yavai as well. However, on days where there is no Musaf, but it's a special day, for example, a tainus, one must add a special tefillah in Shemon Esrei. This means anenu on a tainus. But if a person forgot to say anenu, he doesn't have to go back and he doesn't have to repeat Shemon Esrei. And the same thing is true on Hanukkah with Al Anisim, that if a person forgets Al Anisim, he does not have to repeat Shemon Esrei. Rashi says, on a tainus by Maariv, it's our minig not to mention the inyan of the tainus by Maariv, because we aren't fasting yet. The fast doesn't begin until the morning. And we don't mention it in Shacharis either, because a person may not complete a fast. The only time we mention it through Anenu is by Mincha. The Baal Tefillah, however, says Anenu in Chazaras HaShatz by Shacharis, since amongst all the Mispalim, somebody is certainly going to complete the Tainus. Therefore, for him who's saying it for everybody, we do say Anenu in the Chazaras HaShatz of Shacharis. Taisus and the Rosh both say that if on Chanukah a person forgets to say Al Anisim in Shemon Esrei, or in benching, he does not have to repeat the Shemon Esrei or Birchas HaMazon, since as we mentioned before, the rule is if there's no Karban Musaf on that day, then one does not have to go back. And since there's no Karban Musaf on Chanukah, and Chanukah is only Midrabanan, a person does not have to go back. The Gemara says there is no Musaf on Chanukah, but on Rosh Chodesh Chanukah or Shabbos Chanukah, when we do Daven Musaf for Shabbos or for Rosh Chodesh, the question is, do we say Al HaNisim in Musaf or not? The Gemara says, yes, we do. As Rabbi Gidl said, on any special day, we always add in a reference to that special day in every Shemon Esrei, regardless of what we're saying or why we're saying that particular Shemon Esrei. So, for example, to extend this on Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, by Ne'ilah, we do mention Shabbos. Even though Ne'ilah comes into being only due to Yom Kippur, not due to Shabbos, we still mention Shabbos in Ne'ilah anyway. Same rule would apply here. The Gemara says there used to be a minhag to say a short haftarah by Mincha on Shabbos. When the Persians made a gzera not to do this, the minig became discontinued. That's in fact today. We do not say a haftarah by Mincha on Shabbos, only in the morning on Shabbos. Back then, many people davened Maariv at home, since most shuls were outside the city. But on Friday night, everyone came to shul. And since some people would come late and would be left alone in shul at the end in order to finish, they were late, so they would start late, therefore they would finish late. They would potentially be in a makam sakana because of shadim, and someone could be left alone there by makam sakana. So the Chachamim went and lengthened the tefillah on Friday night, so that the latecomers could finish their tefillahs in the protective company of all members of the shul. The Mishnah. Shemen Sreifa, oil of Truma Temeah, which must be burnt on Yontif, cannot be used as a fuel for Hadlakas Neiros Shel Shabbos, since as we already learned, Ein Sarfin Kachim B'Yontif. Rabbi Yishmael says, you also can't use Itran, since it has a bad smell, so it'll ruin the Kvayd Shabbos. But the Chachamim allow all oils for Neiros Shabbos, including sumsumin, sesame oil, egoizim, nut oil, tznoinis, radish oil, dogim, fish oil, pakuais, desert watermelon, itrain, which is a waste product, and naft, which is a derivation of pitch. Rabbi Tarfon says, Neiros Shabbos can only be kindled with shemen zayis, olive oil. The Gemara. The reason we say, ein sarfin kachim b'yontiv, is learned from the extra words of the Pasuk regarding Karban Pesach, that it says, ad biker, don't burn it on the first biker, but on the second biker. I.e., in Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about one day of Yontif, we actually wait to burn it until after Yontif, which is how we learn, ein sarfin kachim b'yontif. The Gemara also brings a number of other drushes as well to this. Daf Chafei. Although we often say, esse doiche leisase, but by kachim on Yontif, we don't say this. Because it's not just esse deiche leisase, but it's we're trying to say esse deiche leisase viase, i.e., ein oimrim esse deiche leisase vase. The ase is burning the leftover kachim. The lais asay is don't do work on yantif, and the extra asay is to rest on yantif. So therefore we say ein amrim esay deicha lais asay ve'asay. That's why ein sarfin kachim be'yantif. Rav says, just like there is a mitzvah to burn kachim, which became tameh, so too by truma, or a kayin might eat it by accident. Rav Nachman bar Rav Zabda said, to eat on Shabbos in a place where there is light, i.e. neiros, that's a chayva. Rechitzas yadayim v'raglayim in hot water on Erev Shabbos is optional. Others say this too is a chayva, or it may even be considered something which is a mitzvah, and therefore it helps to bring schar. The Gemara asks, who is called an asher, a rich person? Rabbi Meir says someone who is sameach b'chelke, whether he has a lot or a little. Rabbi Tarfon says a person is called an asher when he has 100 fields and 100 servants to work them properly. Rabbi Akiva says one who has a wife who is beautiful in her deeds, that's called an asher. And Rabbi Yossi says anyone who has a beis hakiseh near his table, that is called an asher. Daf Chafav. Tzari, balsam oil, is usher to use for Ner Shabbos since it smells good and someone may want to freshen up with it on Shabbos and be over on the malacha of extinguishing the fire because they'll want to use the oil. Or maybe it's usher because it's very flammable, so therefore it's a sakana. Shimon ben Elazar says, if a beged is made with thread and it is at least the size of 3x3 etzbais, it can become tameh. But if the fibers come from a tree, even cotton, then it is not tameh by 3x3, and therefore since it can't become tameh, it can be used for schach. We know that only items which are not royal kabbal tuma can be used for schach. Daf Chav Zayin. A dead sheretz can be metama ba'adosha, meaning that even just a small bit of it can be metame. And kadosha means like a lentil. Mash'en came by negoyim. We need a larger shear of kigris, which is the size of a coin. A beged which is tsemer upishtim, according to some, are the only ones which can ever become tame via tumas sheretz. The Gemara says the iser of shatnez only applies to a mix of tsemer upishtim, wool and linen. And since the pasuk of shatnez in Devarim Chaf Beis, loy silbash shatnez, is next to the pasuk of tzitzis, gedilim taselach, we learn that according to some shitas, tzitzis should be made out of tzemer or pishtim. According to others, only four-cornered begadim made of tzemer or pishtim are chayav to have tzitzis put in them. This way of learning two psukim that are next to each other is called being darish bismuchim, with psukim that are next to or adjacent to one another. From the pasuk of Uri Isem Oisoi, regarding tzitzis, you should see them, in Bamidbar Tesvav, we learn that one is only mechuyev to wear tzitzis on begadim worn by day, not begadim worn at night. Ksus laila, for example, possibly pajamas, which are only worn at night. Kuntres Aladaf brings the machlokes rishayim as to what the patur of ksus laila by tzitzis exactly means. Rashi divrei amaschil lichasois defines ksus laila as a garment which is meyuchad lelaila, designated for nightwear, such as a robe or pajamas. If one has a four-cornered robe, which is generally worn at night, it does not require tzitzis, even if one happens to wear it during the day, since it's miyuchad laila. Conversely, a garment that is designated for day use always requires tzitzis, even if it's worn at night. This is also the opinion of the Rush in Menachas, which is born in Hilchas Ketanis, at the end of Hilchas Tzitzis. It's also the opinion of Benu Tam in Menachas Daf Mem. The Rambam in Hilchas Tzitzis, Paragimel Halacha Zayin, maintains that all garments are potter from tzitzis at night. If one dons his talis at night, according to the Rambam, he does not recite a bracha, because one is potter from the mitzvah of tzitzis at night. The Ramah in Simen Chaf Aleph, Sif Gimel, cites an opinion that considers it improper to sleep with a talis cotton, because it's considered a bizoyin for the mitzvah. However, the Ramah says that the prevailing custom is to be makel in regard to the fact that people often sleep or nap while wearing their talis cotton. The Magid Avram, in Simen Chaf Aleph, Sifkat and Beis, brings the Arizal, who based on Kabbalistic sources, recommends sleeping in a talis cotton. We should point out the Tshuvais Na'is Desha, which is brought in the Shailos in Tshuvais Na'is Desha, Simen Samach Beis, also brought in the Chai Odam, in Simen Yod Aleph. He says that tzitzis should only be assembled during the daytime, when the obligation of tzitzis applies. He says that one should not make tzitzis at night, since according to the Rambam, all begadim are potter from tzitzis at night. The Prima Gadam, however, in Simen Yud Ches, writes that tzitzis which are assembled at night are valid, even according to the Rambam, because there is no halacha requiring that they be made only when the mitzvah is applicable. The next Mishnah. Any wick which comes from a tree cannot be used for Ner Shabbos, except for pishtun, flax. but all things that come from a tree cannot be metamet tumas ayil, i.e. if it serves to cover a mace, because it doesn't transmit tumas ayil. The only thing that can transmit tumas ayil is pishta. Daf Chavches, the Gemara. For the Mishkan, meleches shamayim, the rule was that only skins from the behemoth tohera were able to be used. And the Mishkan had two covers. Number one, woven threads, including linen, oires shal elim hadamim, and goat hair, oires tachashim. Others say that there were more than two covers. The Gemara says that the chumra, that only or behemoth tohera can be used for meleches shamayim, not only applies to the Mishkan, but to tefillin as well, that only the hides from a behemoth tohera can be used for batim and ritzuais of tefillin. Also, from the pasuk in Shmais Yud Gimel, Leman Tihiya Teiras Hashem Beficha, we learn that parshas written in the tefillin also must be written on parchment from a behemoth tohera. And the Ramah in Arachayim Simen Tof Kuf Pevav Sif Aleph brings the Ran in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chafav Amid Beis, who extends the rule of our Gemara to Shefer as well. And he says that only the horns of a kosher animal should be used for a shayfer on Rosh Hashanah, because a shayfer must be taken from a species of animal which is mutar beficha, i.e. an animal that's kosher. And the Magid Avram in Sifkat Gimel explains that all mitzvahs are derived from tefillin, and just like tefillin must be manufactured from kosher animals, so too the materials used for other mitzvahs must be taken from kosher animals as well. A tachash is a machlokes if it's a chaya, i.e. it's an undomesticated animal, like a deer, or a behema, a domesticated animal, like a cow. It had only one horn coming out of its head. The next Mishnah. A piece of a garment large enough to be mekabel tuma, i.e. it's 3x3 etzbais, made into a wick, but not singed, Rabbi Eliezer says, even though it's a wick, it can still be mekabel tuma, because its shame beged remains. Therefore, you can't use it for an Er Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says it's tahar, because it's not a beged anymore, because now it's called a wick, and you can, therefore, use it for Ner Shabbos. The Gemara. On Yontif, one can fuel a fire with whole kalim, but not with pieces of kalim that broke on Yontif, since they are muktzah because of neilad. If a keli comes into a new state of being on Yontif, this is called neilad, i.e. it's born on Yontif, and therefore it's what we call muktzah. If kalim are broken, then they are transferred from Klei Kili Sholem, a full Keli, to Shivrei Kelim, and therefore they become a new entity, which is what makes it into Neilad. Daf Chavtetz. Fragments of a Keli that broke on Yontif, Rabbi Yehuda says it's osur to use because of Neilad and Muktzah. Rabbi Shimon says it's okay to use. If one ate a nut and he had shells left over, Rabbi Yehuda says the shells are Muktzah. Or Rabbi Shimon says they're not. The Gemara says if a piece of Beged was used for a non-chashava purpose, for example as a stopper, if it was put away, Rabbi Eliezer says it becomes again ro'i l'kabel tuma, because he put it away, so it's now chashev again, and it's mukhan. Rabbi Yeshua says it's tahar, since it's not chashev as a beged. Rabbi Akiva says it depends on what he had in mind. If he hung it, so it's a simon that it's chashev. If not, so that it's not chashev. In the end, Rabbi Akiva was chayzer, and he held like Rabbi Yeshua. The next Mishnah. One should not make a hole in an egg, fill it with oil, and suspend it above a lamp, so during Shabbos the oil will drip into the lamp on a regular basis. Why can't he do this? Since he may take some of the oil for a different use and be over on mechaber. Mechaber is extinguishing a fire, which he is doing indirectly, i.e. by taking some oil now, the fire will go out earlier. And this is osur midrabanan. This explanation is according to the shita of the Rush, that removing the oil from the eggshell will cause the lamp to go out earlier, and therefore it's osur to remove the oil. Tosfos, however, has a different opinion. He holds that in order to be liable for mechaba, a person's action must have an immediate effect on the flame. So removing some of the oil from the eggshell will not immediately reduce the intensity of the fire. So according to that, why should this be usur? You could say that it's usur because since the oil has been set apart for the purpose of burning, it's muktzah, and therefore it can't be used no matter what happens. Even if it goes out early, the oil can't be used anyway. So that's the reason, according to Tosfos, it's usur to do this. The Mishnah continues by saying, even if the oil is mius, this is still usur. Yehuda, however, says this is mutter. But if this drip infrastructure was created lachatchila as a keli, then this is all mutter. Finally, the Mishnah says someone should not fill a receptacle with oil and put it next to a ner for the same reasons that we mentioned before. Yehuda says this is mutter. The Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda holds davar she'eino miskaven is mutter on Shabbos. For example, if one drags a bed in a rishus harabim, and it so happens that it creates a chritz, a furrow on the ground, which is the malacha of cheresh, this is mutter, as long as he doesn't have in mind to do the malacha. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says this is aser. So Rabbi Yehuda holds davar she'eino miskaven is aser. The Gemara says if one sells begadim, even if it has shatnez in the begadim, one can put them on to model them for a potential buyer, as long as they don't have kavana to use them to warm themselves up in the winter. The Mishnah. If someone extinguishes a lamp because of fear, for example, there's goyim around, or avodah zarah, or robbers, or an evil spirit, or a sick person is sleeping, and a person is afraid that if they don't put out the fire, then they'll be attacked by the robbers, or the person who's sick will wake up, then if a person does this, he's potter. If he is kechas al haner, he puts it out so the lamp will not crack, so then he's chayef, since by doing that, he's producing charcoal. Rabbi Yossi says he's potter, unless you're trying to spare the wick. Daf Lamed, the Gemara. Since we say chayev in the Seifa, the Mishnah must be like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds malacha she'en tzricha legufa is chayev. And malacha she'en tzricha legufa is a malacha that's not intended for its defined purpose in the Mishkan. For example here, if one extinguishes a flame to conserve the wick, since this is in malacha done for its defined purpose, according to Reb Shimon, he'd be potter, because a malacha she'en tzricha legufa, according to Reb Shimon, is potter. But according to Reb Yehuda, it fulfills, if as long as it fulfills any constructive purposes, even if it isn't done for the defined purpose in the Mishkan, he's still chayev, because he holds a davar she'en tzricha legufa is chayev. For a chayle she'esh by sakana, one who's sick and his life is in danger, one is allowed to do even a malacha d'oraisa, even extinguishing a fire, for example, since pikuach nefesh is deicha Shabbos. The Gemara says a person should be sure to learn Torah and do mitzvahs before he dies, since after he dies, he can't do them. When Shlomo HaMelech built a Beis HaMikdash and he asked the gates of the Kodesh Kodashim to open, they refused. So he quoted the pasuk from Tilim Chof Delet, Su'u she'arim rashechem, v'hinasu pischei olam, v'yavai melech hakavod sela. Raise your heads and be uplifted so the King of Glory can enter. Since David HaMelech knew he would die on Shabbos, he sat and learned Torah all day of every Shabbos, so the Melech HaMavis couldn't get to him. As we know, Torah protects one from death. On the day he was supposed to die, the Melech HaMavis shook the nearby tree, and when David went to check out what happened, the Melech HaMavis went and killed him. At one point they wanted to hide Sefer Koheles and Sefer Mishlei, because some parts contradict other parts. The Gemara says sometimes Hashem brings good fortune to Rishayim in Olam Hazeh, so they'll use up all of their Olam Haba. When the Pasuk says, V'shibachta ani es ha-simcha, it refers to Hashem praising Simcha shel mitzvah. For example, as Rashi explains, Hachnasas Kala. The Gemara says that the Shechina does not rest in places of Atzvus, sadness, Atzlus, laziness, Schaik, laughter, Kalas Reish, mockery, Sicha, schmoozing, or Dvarim B'Telem. But the Shechina only rests B'Teich, Simcha shel mitzvah. When one begins teaching Torah, he should begin the shiur with something happy. As Rashi explains, this gets people's attention. Nonetheless, the Talmud still must sit in front of his Rebbe with fear. Finally, the Gemara relates to us the story of the Talmud who continued to mock his Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, and whatever Rabbi Gamliel said, he kept answering, Ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh. Daf Lamed Aleph. Tan Rabbanan. A person should always strive to be humble and gentle, like Hillel, but not impatient and unbending like Shammai. There was a bet between two people who tried to get Hillel to get angry. So one of them went to Hillel just before Shabbos as he was bathing. Hillel had to stop taking the bath, had to put on his robe. And when he came outside to see what this person wanted, the person asked him, why are the heads of Babylonians round? Which was a very trivial question, in addition to other questions when he disturbed him. And in each case, Hillel said, that's an excellent question, and he gave him a straight answer. There was a maisa of a nachri who came before Shammai and asked him how many Torahs are there. And Shammai said, there are two Torahs, Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebiksav. He asked Shammai to be megayer him with only the Torah Shebiksav, and he refused unbendingly. Then he went to Hillel, who was megayer him, since Hillel thought he could eventually get him to accept Torah Shebal Peh as well. And this is in fact what happened. And there was another maisa, where a nachri came to Shammai and asked him to be megayer him on the condition that he would teach him the entire Torah al regalachas, and he pushed him away with his stick. Then he came to Hillel, and Hillel converted him and said the Torah is very simple. It's as follows: Dalach sinei lechavrach, lo tave. What is hateful to you, do not do to your friend. and all the rest of the Torah, that's just a perush on this. The Marshal explains that Hillel's words are based on the pasuk of Ahavta L'Re'acha Kameicha, love your neighbor as yourself. In addition to the Pashut Pshat, which is what is hateful to you, do not do to your friend, Rashi also explains another Pshat. Do not do to your fellow man also means don't do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he doesn't like. Just as one finds it hateful when someone disregards his wishes, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not like it when we disregard his wishes, i.e. his mitzvahs from the Torah. And then the Gemara says that these Gerim said that the sternness of Shammai almost kept us away from the Torah, while the kindness of Hillel brought us tachas kanfei hashchina. The Arizal points out that since we are living in a world of chesed, and chesed is the midah of Beis Hillel, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Mashenkin, in the time of Mashiach, when the midas hagavura will preside, we will do like the shita of Beis Shammai. Reish Lakish asks, what is meant by the pasuk in Yeshaya, Lamed Gimel, v'haya emunas itecha chesin yeshuais, chachmas vadas yiras Hashem, hiyotzarei. The kiyum of your time and the strength of Yeshua comes to chachma and das, and the fear of Hashem is his storehouse. Emuna, which is trust, is equal to Seder's rhyme. Taisus explains that to be mekayim the mitzvahs of, for example, peyah, bikurim, one must have trust in Hashem. Itecha, time, is equal to Seder mayid, which the halachas of mayid and zmanim and so on. Chaisen, strength, is Seder nashim, which is related to the yuchsin of children who come as a result of kedushin. Yeshuais, salvation, is equal to Seder nezikin. We learn how to save ourselves from owing money as a result of damaging other properties, or other people's properties. Chachma is wisdom, is Seder kachim, and das, knowledge, is Seder taharis. Das is a higher level of understanding versus chachma. And Rava said, when they bring a person to Bezdin in Shemayim after death, they ask him a number of questions. Number one, Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna, did you conduct your business dealings with honesty and integrity? Number two, Kavata itim latera, did you set times each day and night for learning Torah? Number three, Asakta v'piria v'rivya, did you engage in having children? And the Marsha, by the way, explains that this isn't only referring to having children of your own, but helping Yisaimim find Shidduchim as well, and therefore carrying out the continuity of Klal Yisrael through them. Number four, Tzipisa l'Yeshua, did you wait and hope for the Mashiach? Number five, Pilpalta b'chachma, did you delve into chachma? And finally, number six, Havanta dabar mitach dabar, did you apply some Torah learning to different Torah learning? Note that all six aspects of the pasuk are covered here in these six things. And the conclusion of the pasuk, Yiras Hashem, referring to Aitzer, is if Yiras Hashem is in his Aitzer, then the person's judgment will be favorable. And if it's not in his Aitzer, then it will not be favorable. The Bnei Yisoschar asks an interesting question regarding the lashon of Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. Did you conduct your business dealings with honesty and integrity? Why does it use this funny expression? Why doesn't it just say Nasasa v'nasata be'emes? Or did you do your business dealing with emes? Why does it say Nasata be'emuna? Where does the term emuna come from? The Bnei Yisoschar explains that this question is asked concurrently with the next question, Kavata itim l'tayra. Did you set aside enough time for studying Torah? One who has a lot of bitachon and emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that his income is predestined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's cognizant of the fact that if he spends too much time in business and he cuts a lot of his time out from Torah, that doesn't serve to increase what he's going to make anyway. Therefore, a person is asked whether he had sufficient emunah when conducting his business, thus making it possible to designate sufficient time for learning Torah. Often the problem of not being able to find time to study Torah is a result of deficiency in emunah, because a person thinks he has to work harder and harder and harder to make more money, but if a person would only have enough emunah, he would realize he doesn't have to work that hard, and therefore he'll have enough time to be able to learn the proper amount of Torah, and to be kaveh itim l'Torah every day. Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, any person who has Torah, but isn't a Yiras Shamayim, is like someone who has the key to the inner doorway of a palace, but no key to the outer door. I.e., if a person does not have Yiras Shamayim, his Torah can't result in anything really positive. Rabbi Loza says, Ein loy laKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamai, ela Yiras Shamayim bilvad. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing else in his world except for the fear of Shamayim alone. Meaning, nothing brings a person into the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu except if a person fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says the general rule is that if one does a malacha which isn't constructive, but rather destructive, then he's potter, midaraisa. Of course, midrabanan, a person can't do this. An example would be taking a knot apart. This is not really something constructive. But if one destructs something or to be constructive, to construct something later, then he may be chayev. Soiser al manas livnais. This is what's referred to. But Rabbi Yaisi says, soiser al manas livnais can only maybe be chayev if it's bimkaime. In other words, a person knocks something down in order to build something in the same place. But if he knocked down a building, for example, in Brooklyn, to take the bricks and build something in Manhattan, that kind of soiser is pater. This analogy can also be applied to the Mishnah's case of the wick. The next Mishnah. On three averis, a woman may die during childbirth. The three averis are not being careful with inyanei nida, not being careful with inyanei chala, afrashas chala, and not being careful with hadlakas neiros shel Shabbos. The Ritva and Rashi explain that these three mitzvahs are singled out because they bear a special connection to women, and that women oversee the proper observance of them. And the Chassam Sofer says that Chana is a Rosh HaTevis of Chala, Nida, and Hadlaka, and that Chana was the personification of these mitzvahs, and was the source of Kedusha and Tefillah by bringing Shmuel HaNavi to the world, who anointed David HaMelech, who eventually wrote Tehillim. Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara. Why is there Sakana during childbirth? Murray answers, since it is already a Shas Sakana, the woman needs extra rachamim, so her mitzvahs and averas are examined more carefully, and she is overall more vulnerable. The Gemara gives a mashal. If an ox you want to kill falls to the ground, sharpen your knife quickly, because it's much easier to kill the animal when it's on the ground, i.e. it's vulnerable, than when it's standing up. Also, since Chava was over by the Eitz Hadas, women were punished with difficulty in childbirths, but this childbirth can be the catalyst for other punishments as well. And the Gemara asks, when is a man tested in the time of Sakana? Our answer is when he crosses a bridge. But Rabbi Yannai said, Le'oilam al-yamayt oda b'makam Sakana, Le'imer sha'aysen lay nes, Shema ein'aysen lay nes. A person should not purposely put himself into a makam Sakana and say, you know what, I'm not afraid, because a nes is going to happen, a miracle is going to happen, because it's very possible a miracle will not happen to him. And in fact, if a miracle does happen to him, he'll use up a lot of his schusim. A person doesn't want to use up too many schusim. The Mesilas Susharim in Perek Tes points out that one who knowingly places himself in a makam sakana is in violation of the mitzvah in Devarim, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tesvav, of Vinishmarta Ma'od L'Nafshei Sechem, where the Torah says a person has to guard his health and well-being. And certainly a person cannot put himself into a makam sakana. Similarly, the Gemara says, a person should always be mispal not to get sick, because if he gets sick, he may need to use up a lot of schusim to get better. The rule is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megalglin schus al yidei zakai, u'megalglin chayva al yidei chayev. Hashem uses a good person to be the shliach for good things, and he uses a bad person to create the bad things. The Gemara says, if one is very, very sick, and he's about to die, he should say vidui. The Gemara asks, what are the defense attorneys that one can hire in this world to work with him in the Bezdin Shalmala? Our answer is tshuva u'maisim tayvim. Even if 999 malachim prosecute him, but one is malamid tzchus, he is spared. The Marsha explains that every time a person does a mitzvah, a malach is created, and every time he does an avera, a different malach is created. Rabbi Nosson says, for the avera of breaking a neder, people's wives die, or one's children can die when they are young. As the pasuk in Kohelet says, al titen espicha lachti, don't allow your mouth to sin. Reish Lakish says, anyone who is careful in the mitzvah of tzitzes will be zeicha to have many servants when Mashiach comes. Rav Nechami says, because of the avera of sinas chinam, shalom bayis will become a problem in one's house, mida keneged mida. And for the avera of not giving trumas umaisris, the shamayim will close and rain will not fall. This is also mida keneged mida, because crops will not grow, because he was stingy with giving trumas and maisris. But if people are nizer in these mitzvahs, there will be plenty of food, as the pasuk in Malachi Gimel says, V'hari kaisi lachem bracha ad beli dai. I will pour out bracha for you without limit. What is meant by ad beli dai? Rami Barab says, ad sheyivlu sifsei sechem milemer dai, until your lips get tired of saying enough, i.e. there will be a major abundance of bracha. Daf Amud Gimel. For the avera of corruption of judgment, or for the avera of bittul Torah, the taking of spoils in war will increase, and the food will be cursed. For the averas of shvua sheker, Chil Hashem and Chil Shabbos, wild beasts will increase, and wild stock for people to eat will decrease. Rashi, by the way, says as an example of Chil Hashem is when a Talmud Chacham or a Chashev, a member of the community, is not careful with his deeds, and Zilzul Torah comes about. The Gemara then says for the averus of Gilei Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and for not observing Shemitah and Yovel, Golos will come to the world. And for the avera of Nivol Peh, obscene language, new gzeros are made constantly. Young men will die, and Yusaimim and Almanos will cry out, but will not be answered. Rav Hanan said everyone knows why the Kala is under the chuppah to get married, but anyone who expresses it openly and talks about it in a manuvaldika way, even if there was a sealed decree of 70 years good for that person, they will reverse this and make it a decree of evil instead. And someone who runs to do an avera is punished with the disease of Hadraken, and one who speaks Lashon Hara will contract the disease of Askara. The Gemara says when the Churban occurred, the Tanaim went to Kerem B'Yavna and said that Askara strikes a person if someone eats something which had no Meiser taken from it, or due to Bittul Torah. Once Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, all the great infrastructure built by the Romans were made for their own selfish needs, for example, markets for the Zionists and bridges to collect taxes. Rav Yehuda ben Gerim, who was there when he said this, repeated what he had heard to a number of people, and eventually the government heard about it, and Rav Shimon was condemned to death, so he hid, and only his wife knew where he was. But he said to his son, Nashim Daitin Kalasein, the minds of women are light and can easily be influenced. So the government may torture her, and she'll reveal the hiding place. Rav Shimon and his son then moved and began to hide in a cave, where a carob tree grew, and a well of water emerged, in order to give them sustenance for their hiding, which was for 12 years. Eliyahu HaNavi came to watch the entrance. After Rav Shimon came out from hiding, he once ran Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim in the shuk, stared at him intensely, caused him to die, and he ended up just being a pile of bones. Finally, Rav Shimon wanted to do a favor for the Rabbim in honor of his redemption, so he built a marketplace, as he learned from Yaakov, who was saved from Esav. Vayava Yaakov Shalem, v'amarav, Shalem v'gufay, Shalem v'mamayne, Shalem v'terase. So Yaakov went and did a favor for the Rabbim, as the Pasuk says, v'yichen es p'nei ha'ir, v'amarav, matbe'atiken lahem. He made a new coin in honor of the Rabbim. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, so we'll have to complete the last two blat of Parapa Melikin on the next tape, Amir Tzashem.